Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Del, for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So the Final Four is set. And it's different than it would have been had we had the BCS. Had we had the BCS, it would have been Oregon, Georgia, Texas, and Penn State. And instead, it's Ohio State, Texas, Notre Dame, and Penn State. And I think Notre Dame, I don't know what you guys think, but the teams that had the bye all ended up losing. So the teams, is it an advantage? While, remember, we had our guy on, college football guy.
Josh Pate
says, you know, what a disadvantage, or maybe you were, I think you even said, you know, you got risking injuries, and so many people made this argument to Josh Pate about if you play another game, look, that's a huge disadvantage. The teams that aren't playing have a huge advantage because they won't lose anybody. And yet all four of those teams ended
up
losing.
But let's really break it down. Two of them were underdogs, one by 13.5, one by, you know, two of them were by two touchdowns, basically.
Right.
One of them was a pick'em with their starting quarterback out against Notre Dame. So I've heard this argument. The argument is a better argument if you talk about how badly some of them were beaten, but still two of them should have never had a bye anyway. It's a mistake. It was a flaw in the system.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make that argument too, and then the more I looked at it, I was like, I mean, who were the teams? Three of them were underdogs, and one of them was, you know, and one of them was a pick'em against Notre Dame, and their quarterback was out.
But I will say this though, you know, I know a lot of you included, I don't like it, but here's the deal: is we know Notre Dame is better than Georgia, we know that Ohio State is better than Oregon, and they wouldn't have been there if we didn't have this system right now.
Well, and could have. I mean, they could have expanded without going to 12 and you would have had it.
Yeah.
They could have expanded a little more slowly. Their biggest problem that college football has, John, is they've just gone like all gas, no brakes. They haven't slowly grown things to check. And that includes NIL, includes transfer portal, includes everything. College football is just like, F it. Go as hard as you can. And going from 4 to 12 was a lot. And if had you gone from 4 to 8 and then maybe grown it to 12, you know, after you saw had 8. But I mean, I'm not going to relitigate it. It's over. We've already talked about it. But I would say that, you know, regardless, what Georgia would have been in the same spot Florida State would have been in. Had it been the old, you know, you could have looked at it because Florida State was undefeated and they didn't make it because of their quarterback.
But even after they lost their quarterback, they still were voted second. So they would have made it.
That would have been the fuss, is that why was Florida State and why not Georgia?
Yeah.
Well, and Georgia, you know, was clearly hurt by, you know, they were hurt some by not.
Well, here's the deal, though. Florida State was, they were undefeated.
Florida State was much more. Well, the problem was it's impossible to see because Florida State was undefeated. But it's impossible to know because they got the brakes blown off of them, but they also had nobody playing. Everyone opted out of that Florida State game. Two guys who will finish in the top five for Defensive Rookie of the Year on the defensive line, Fisk and Jared Verse, They didn't play. I mean, they didn't play in that game, and that would have been huge. Georgia's not as reliant on their quarterback. So that was, like, to me, I don't really make Carson – I don't use Carson Beck as an excuse. Notre Dame whipped the offensive line's ass from Georgia. Yep. But, you know, Notre Dame didn't move it a ton. They didn't even get to 300 yards.
He ran for 80, threw for 90. It wasn't like they were putting a
running quarterback, a good defense, a good field goal kicker, and a kick return for a touchdown.
Listen, Marcus Freeman was a better coach yesterday.
Yeah, he was.
He was. Marcus Freeman was better than Kirby Smart, and that was supposed to be an advantage Georgia.
But when was Georgia good this year? When they played Texas twice.
That's it.
Ole Miss beat them up. Like, it was kind of jarring to watch what Ole Miss did to them physically. And I watched it on tape yesterday. When I was watching some defensive players from Georgia, and I was like, man, Ole Miss really physically got after Georgia. It is a crazy year. Georgia, like, the SEC just isn't very good this year.
No, not really.
This is not the same Georgia team. And John, I think the interesting – so on my Joe Moore Award text thread, you know, Jeff Schwartz brought up the fact that the concern was that now you were going to have – just the money schools, and it is, money schools have a huge advantage, but it's not just the power schools. Like, Georgia's not actually a monster money school. Alabama's not a monster money school. You may think they are, but they're actually not. It depends on your, you know, like, I think Florida has more money than those teams in terms of the alumni base, things like that. The transfer portal, which is really just free agency, evergreen free agency, has created a great deal of parity and, frankly, in some cases, inconsistency. And this may be the end of the the Alabama and Georgia dominance, SEC yep. dominance now, because they're not the money people, and you'll notice they don't bring in the big. They try to hang on to their own. They didn't bring in a ton of big money guys. Texas did. Texas went yep. and took. You know, they took players from both those teams, including Isaiah Bond, who, frankly...
Including Matthew Golden
from Houston, yeah.
Who was a monster. Their only weapon the other day.
He was the only one. He was a monster the other day.
Yeah, I saw Brett Yormark. He wants to talk, and he wants to get clarity on the targeting. How about get clarity on 4th and 13? Stop them on 4th and 13, and you win, okay? If you didn't, and you lost, Brett Yormark. Although the targeting issue is real. It is real.
Does Brett Yormark watch Arizona State football? Like, there's no guarantee they make a field goal.
No.
They're bad.
No. Really, bad.
Like, the 15-yard penalty, as you mentioned, get the stop. But even if you get the 15-yard penalty, that field goal situation for them stinks. So there's no guarantee they're kicking it.
They had to bounce kickers left and right. Yeah.
There was a better shot to get one stop than go drive and get a couple extra yards and kick a relatively long field goal.
He didn't have Bert Austin as his kicker.
Well, they were. You remember Kenny Dillingham earlier in the year talking about, hey, anyone want to come try out?
Yeah,
kick?
He asked students to come try out.
But, hey, the same situation, look at Notre Dame. They had a similar situation this year, and that dude stepped up. You don't know if a kid's going to. That's all.
Yeah, you never know, but they still need to get in field goal range. They weren't guaranteed to make it.
Sometimes you know.
Sometimes you know. And you know what? If your safety had better eyes instead of staring into the backfield while Quinn Ewers is dropping back and not letting Matthew Golden run by him, you win the game.
How about the only thing you couldn't do is what they did? The only thing.
I think they
By the way, they went one high.
Well, they got what they wanted.
They blitzed.
Well, they got what they wanted.
High, and they didn't even get close to
Ewers. Well, they got what they wanted. They showed Texas all-out pressure, and they only wound up actually only rushing five. They only rushed five.
They simulated pressure.
They simulated pressure. They showed like there was cover zero blitz. That's what a lot of people were tweeting about. They only rushed five. They got Texas to keep guys in. So Texas only had three guys
but
out
you
in that
pattern. You know what Quinn's going to do. He's going to try. If he thinks pressure's coming, he's going to just throw it up.
Well, that's the issue. You know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
You wanted him to get the ball out quick and not see what you're actually putting out there, but the safety didn't get depth. He stared into that backfield and let Golden run by him. That's why they
ultimately, either one of those teams that lost had themselves to blame. They can talk. You can talk about targeting or whatever, and I know that's but my God, you had 4th and 13 to win the game.
Yeah,
and you were done. You were in if you just handle your
business. Quote unquote, you actually tricked Texas into doing what you wanted. Your guys just didn't execute. Mm-hmm. Don't let the guy run by you. And you did. You lost.
And here's a great Texas team moving on.
Yeah, great Texas team. And you know why?
Great.
Why? I don't know why Joe didn't do it, because he's done it before.
Texas is back for
Oh, he dropped a couple of
when you listen to Joe Desitore speak.
He dropped a couple of Texas references in there.
But did he say the line? Oh, did he say the line?
He did not say Texas is back.
He knows he's a meme.
No, he did not. He did not say that. No, you're right.
He knows he's a meme. But, you know, it's going to be – Texas did not play well against Georgia either time offensively. They were screw-ups against Texas A&M. I mean, they were pretty handily dominating Texas A&M, and yet here it was. A chance to be a one-score game if A&M can get 1 yard at the end of towards the end of the game. Texas and Quinn Ewers just have not, like, they have not put to – I thought Clemson was pretty good. Clemson was pretty good. But if you're not running a football, you don't have a chance at Texas right now. And what concerns me in this next matchup is Banks has been hurt for a while now, and he tries to play through it, and then he gets re-injured. Your right tackle, we'll see if Williams is back in the next game. Jake Majors had been hurt. He played this time, your starting center. You know, if they're beat up on the offensive line, I don't know. I'm telling you, this is really going to be a really, really tough matchup. And that's before you even get to the fact that there's three legitimate NFL receivers on the other side of that field that you're going to have to cover, including two guys who are going to be first round picks, more than likely. One of them for sure will be a top five pick. And, you know, you may be looking at the next Andre Johnson, Julio Jones, Calvin Johnson type. It's going to be, can Texas score enough? I don't know with Quinn Ewers a quarterback. I really don't. But, you know, we'll talk about it. Still, it's not for a little while. They'll have some time to heal up. Now, this is a big deal, healing up their offensive linemen, because they've got to be as ready to roll as possible, because they have to run the ball this game. Not being able to run against Arizona State, I mean, it was just a killer, because we know Quinn Ewers cannot take a team on his shoulders. He hasn't shown it. You can't just keep talking about, well, he beat Alabama and Alabama. That was so long ago, I don't even care. I don't know the last time Quinn just said, you know what, man, jump on.
He just converted a fourth and 13.
That's one throw.
Throw, he threw a touchdown pass to win the
game.
How
about the interception?
Understood. Yes.
And the double coverage.
Quinn Ewers is not a perfect player.
But it's not one throw, though. Can you? If you're not running a football, can they rely on you to have a big game? You think
great,
you're beating Ohio State with a throw?
Probably not. Quinn Ewers is not a great pro prospect, but in the last time we saw him play, when it mattered most, he made throws. That's all you're going to want. Ask for it as a college quarterback, sure. You want him to be consistent throughout, but let's maybe not think Quinn Ewers is a bona fide first.
Arch.
Stop it. Let's maybe,
listen,
if we remove the whole.
He makes big plays at big times.
And
he
let's
does.
Remove the
now,
fact.
There's way too much time in between them, though.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But Quinn Ewers isn't the prospect you think he is.
He's right. He does make big
throws. He's not that guy, pal. He's not the guy people think he is.
He's not a great college quarterback right now.
Understood. But what we've seen is when it has mattered most recently for Texas, even against Washington, that was a comeback that they didn't complete. He has found ways to make plays. He's just not the guy we thought he was. That's all.
Yeah, and that's what bothers me. Against this Ohio State team right now, this Ohio State team caught fire. And I don't know anyone who's going to stop them. Although I will say, this idea that Penn State was waltzing to the finals, that's over. No one thinks that anymore. And Notre Dame is they're rugged defensively, and their offensive line. I talked about it yesterday on the show.
Penn State was never going to walk into the finals. They had either Georgia.
They were the third favorite behind. It was Ohio State and Penn State, and then Georgia. I think was third.
They'd have to play Notre Dame or
then
Georgia.
Texas. Yeah. They're not. This Penn State Notre Dame is going to be a really good game.
I think
it's going to be a really good game. And
I think
both
a really good game.
And
too.
I think either
you
one
find
of them,
out how to stop Tyler Warren.
It'll be a close game. I'm not sure how good it'll
well,
be.
Well, okay, yeah, it'll be a close game.
It'll
be competitive. I don't know how aesthetically pleasing.
I don't
it's
know
going
that
be.
It's going to be aesthetically pleasing.
Well, I mean, I like defense too.
Well, there's defense, and then there's bad offense, pretty defense is fine, but watching Riley Leonard against athletes, they're throwing 100 yards. He's not going to be pretty.
It's grimy. That's fine.
It's grimy.
That dude is like Tyler Hero.
What? All right,
he was a basketball player. He wasn't a football player.
Yeah.
That dude is athletic. Oh, he's not athletic. Did you see him jump
over
those guys?
John, did I just say he wasn't athletic? I just said he threw for under 100 yards. That's what I said. Didn't say anything about his athleticism.
You don't see against – you said you want to see him against what?
I like to see him change
positions. No, I saw him against a real athletic defense, and he threw for under 100 yards. Riley Leonard, trust that man.
Riley Leonard and Jalen Milroe need to move to running back.
Thank you.
But you got to move to Allstate Siding and Windows.
Allstate Windows. And I have to move there. I'm already there. I've had Allstate Windows and Siding come out and do a complete siding job for me. It was a big deal, too, because I had this vinyl siding that was after the hurricane in 17, there was some hanging off of the home. And my homeowner's insurance said, we're not going to insure you until you get this fixed. And I'm like, I thought I was going to weasel by. And it didn't look good. I mean, I really needed to. Underneath it was old wood that was dilapidated. Somebody had done a patchwork job. So I called Allstate Windows and Siding. This is before I was even speaking for them because I already knew they were the best in Houston and very trustworthy, good prices. And so I gave them a call. They came out. They kept a very clean workspace, which was very important to me after I had a filthy one in another job before that killed off all my grass, and it was a whole deal. They came out. And they did a complete siding job, and it was a huge upgrade to the look of my home, the energy efficiency. But also, I knew once I had it done once, it was done. No more painting, no more cleaning, no more repairing. It was good to go. The Hardy Plank is a solution. It's the solution, and it's going to make your house look great, and you're going to be done. The water, the humidity, whatever it is that you think is going to cause rotted wood won't happen with this Hardy Plank. So make sure that you call Allstate Windows and Siding. They've been here in business in Houston for decades, family owned and operated. And the great thing is they use top notch quality materials and they guarantee their work. So AllstateWindowsandSiding.com. That's AllstateWindowsandSiding.com. Mention you heard about it from me on ESPN 97.5, and they're going to give you a big discount when you get a complete siding job. It's AllstateWindowsandSiding.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So how did the Texans approach this on Sunday? I haven't seen CJ in the injury report, right? If his shoulder is a problem, you would think they'd be resting him, at least limited participation. Nothing in the injury updates. Apparently he's fine, because if you don't tell what the injury is, then you're facing some kind of fine. But you know, if CJ is banged up, then you know he shouldn't play on Sunday. You know, get the most important thing is for him to be ready. Who cares if you win or lose this game? Now, I really think he needs to play to get better, because the last taste in his mouth is what he did against the Ravens on Christmas, and that was terrible. It was the worst performance he's ever had. So it would be nice to get some momentum heading into the playoffs. Anything will be better than what he did on Christmas. So what do you do? There are guys that are on the report. I doubt you'll see Shaq Mason. He's got a knee. Foley, Fatukasi, you probably don't see him. There were guys that with limited participation. If they're banged up, you want to get them healthy because you're going back at it next week for real. But apparently, there's no issue with CJ. He's not on any list, and he has been full participant. What do you do?
Well, I mean, the NFL's going to, they'll come down on you if you don't play him, so.
Well, no, you can not play him and say the game's worthless.
But you need to start making that designation now.
Well, no, you don't have to tell them he's not playing. Not if it's if the game doesn't matter, you don't have to tell them.
Right, but don't they, are you sure they don't have, if there is an injury, you need to disclose it.
But is it?
But you could say he's not playing because it doesn't mean anything.
Well, have the Chiefs put Mahomes on their injury report? Because that came out that he wasn't going to play, and we know why he's not going to play. They don't need the game.
But did they say it publicly?
They haven't, but all the reporting suggests that he's not going to play.
Yeah, I know the league does not like those surprises, and it's all for gambling purposes.
Yes,
they don't want any.
This is what I'm asking. Like, that's why the question is, do the Texans need to say he's limited by an injury or say we're just not activating him. We're going to deactivate him for the game.
I don't think you have to say anything, but I can tell there are places that are definitely – the Eagles are 2.5-point favorites this week against the Giants at home, which tells me they're not playing anybody.
No, we already know Saquon's not playing.
Yeah, he's not playing.
Uh-huh.
Right?
So, and that's why, you know, it's best – that's why the line makers have to really – curtail the numbers just in case. The Texans don't show any signs of not playing CJ.
No.
But I really would think twice about it just because if he is a little beat up, give him an extra week. Just give him an extra week.
Here's the thing about Mahomes. So Mahomes doesn't play. He played Christmas, right, which was the 25th. He doesn't play this week. He doesn't play next week, which would put him at not playing again. It's literally 3 weeks, over 3 weeks, almost a month that he's not going to play football.
Mm-hmm.
That's way too long. That's way too long.
His last game was against Michigan, where they got their asses kicked.
That's not the same.
That's right.
Is that Will Howard you're talking about?
That's right. Never mind. I just get him and Will Howard.
You mistook Patrick Mahomes for Will Howard.
Well, after the first half the other day.
I tell you what, Will Howard's having a better couple weeks than Mahomes is.
Well, Mahomes, the last time he played, he had 3 touchdowns against the Steelers.
Will Howard's better.
320 yards.
Is he? Was he?
Well, yes, if there's one guy that won't be affected by it, it's Pat Mahomes. He plays such a his game isn't really timing based, it's improv based, and so I'm not really that worried. Andy Reid is so far ahead of everybody from an offensive standpoint, it's almost scary. I think some of it is just Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and yeah, I mean it helps, but he did this with Donovan McNabb, and the best season Alex Smith ever had was with Andy Reid. Donovan McNabb was a Pro Bowler over there with Andy Reid. Andy Reid just knows how to get the ball to playmakers in unique ways.
I don't think there's any question how good he is. But you know what? They haven't been that good this year. They just haven't.
No, offensively. And some of that's been on. And you know, it is a direct. You cannot look at this and not think of Travis Kelce. Because when Tom Brady offensively, the numbers are staggering. No one wants to believe this, but the numbers out there, we had it from NFL research. The numbers with Pat, when Tom Brady had Gronk and didn't have Gronk, are alarming. It's alarming how far his production dropped when he didn't have his number one safety blanket in Gronk. The same thing, I think, is happening to Pat Mahomes right now. He didn't make Pro Bowl for the first time in his career, I guess. And, you know, I mean, look, he was up against 3 killers at quarterback in that division. I mean, in the AFC. But there has been a direct correlation to his number one, you know, his number. And let's face it, he's a number one wide receiver. He lost one of them, Rashee Rice, early in the season. And then his other number one, Travis Kelce's just not really that anymore. He's just fallen off a cliff pretty quickly. So it hurts Pat Mahomes when he doesn't have Travis Kelce. He is not Superman, but if I tell you, okay, Lamar Jackson, 2-time MVP, is having this incredible year. Josh Allen's having the best year of his career, and they look so dangerous without Stephon Diggs. They look like a better team. And yet, I can't ever bring these games up when I talk to other people, and it doesn't just turn to, well, it's Pat Mahomes. Like, I don't care what the Chiefs look like. I don't care if they've been lucky. I know you probably think that too, John. You probably think it too, Dale. We can say whatever we want about how it's looked all year long, but when it comes time to the playoffs, it's like, it's Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. I mean, ultimately, you can't disrespect that. You have to respect that.
Yeah. No. I don't. If you want to know the truth, I'd rather go through Kansas City than Baltimore or Buffalo.
Yeah, on paper for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, but we'll see if you – yeah, on paper for sure. We'll see if you believe that when the game's actually going on.
But it's not just Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes.
Chris Jones.
No, Steve Spagnuolo, too.
Steve Spagnuolo
is all of
a problem.
Yeah. So when it comes down to it
– that's why they've got so many wins.
Yeah, it's everybody that is important shows up when it matters, no matter what you think is going on in the regular season. Just wait for the playoffs. And we've had Brady won in Tampa, but we thought of the dominant Patriots. We had, a 2-year gap between one GOAT and then the other one stepping in? Mm-hmm. And we felt that way about the Patriots, and of course they didn't always win. Usually happen if they had to go on the road in the AFC title game or in the obviously the NFC East had them. But as soon as it was time, we expected that team to win, and it's the same for the Chiefs. I don't care about what Mahomes is doing. I don't care about Allen. I don't care about Lamar. When it matters, I'm saying the Chiefs will find a way.
I honestly, you know, when you say that, I used to say, well, you still have to beat Brady. I feel the exact same. You still have to beat Mahomes. Like, we can talk about it and the games on paper and all this stuff. All I know is who's the number one seed, no matter how they got there, who's the number one seed, and you still who's got home field throughout, and you still have to beat Pat Mahomes. And no matter what, I mean, the road to the Super Bowl is still going to go through Kansas City.
And he's lost two home playoff games. One is because D Ford was offsides. They would have won that game. They had the pick. He was offsides. And the other one,
Joe Burrow.
He had an awful second half. They were up big in that game, and Pat Mahomes probably
remember that game.
The worst
when was
half.
That one?
The AFC title game,
Super Bowl,
the Bengals.
Yeah, okay.
He had the worst half of his career.
AFC Championship game.
And I was like, and other than that, it's been it's Mahomes. They'll win. They'll figure it out. And they generally always do.
Yeah, they do.
That said, over his last five games, CJ had his best game against Kansas City. Threw for 244, two touchdowns, two interceptions.
Wow, what a game.
Shred him, Shroud. Yeah, great game by CJ. Two picks, great.
2-2 and 246 yards. Man, he was balling.
Well, yeah. No, he had a better game, actually. He threw for 131 against Miami, and he actually had a better game there.
He didn't turn the ball over, right?
Didn't turn the ball over. That's right.
Shred him, Shroud!
What is that from?
It's John Gruden online or on Twitter. He breaks down quarterbacks. And earlier in the year, CJ had a great game. And he said,
"Shred up, Stroud!"
Was it against Buffalo? Maybe?
I don't know what game it was. But
that was not him barking.
That was him.
That's him? That's a good bark.
And my
That's
show.
Gruden barking?
Part of it is him. And then it's there's some people behind him, too.
There's some reverb,
backing vocals,
some
whatever,
too,
maybe.
Yeah.
But the show that I do, we want to play this.
Shred up, Stroud!
But CJ's not shredding enough, so Sean doesn't get a chance to play it.
Yeah, he's really not been shredding. I don't think shredding is a word. Okay, what was the last really good game he had?
Was it Buffalo?
That's a long time ago.
No. Was it Dallas?
Maybe.
Really good game? Are we going to use that? Are we going to use really good game?
Really good
game.
Okay.
Really,
Dallas. Really good game. We're not doing this two touchdowns, two interception thing.
No. Oh, no. Well, against Dallas, he had no touchdowns, one interception. But he threw for 257.
Thanks to Laramie.
That's not good.
Against Laramie Tunsil, he would have had, if not for Laramie Tunsil, he would have had like 300 plus with Nico Collins. But that was like a screen. That didn't really count anyway. He didn't throw that ball more than a yard down the field.
They count, though. They count them now.
But it's not shred him if he's throwing a ball a yard down the field and Nico runs for 70.
The last really good game.
His first half against Detroit was maybe.
Oh, my God. New England for 192 yards.
That doesn't count.
Three touchdowns. Then it's Buffalo. 331. One touchdown, one interception.
Even then he.
Okay, Jacksonville. 345, two touchdowns, no interception.
That's the game.
Okay,
he had a
it's
passer rating over 110.
It's when the weather in that day was 100 degrees. The last time he had a really good game,
was when it was,
it
really
was
hot.
September 29th. September. And you could make an argument that, I mean, I would argue Buffalo at 331. I know it's one touchdown, one interception, but it was 8.7 yards a throw.
And that touchdown came very early.
He had 27 yards rushing. Yeah, it did come early.
And they held on.
They won by three.
Yeah, they held on to beat Buffalo in Josh Allen's worst game.
They only beat Jacksonville by four.
Well, they don't beat up on the AFC South.
Yeah. Who cares?
The AFC South, they have a 4-point differential?
You know, even when he sunned Caleb Williams, he only had a touchdown.
Don't take all them sacks.
CJ didn't get to 20 touchdowns, kids.
Well, that's why maybe he's playing on Sunday, to get to 20 touchdowns.
Maybe so, but I don't know that it's a lock.
19 and 12.
This is your quarterback?
Good Lord, this is the one Schaub never had a year this bad.
The one you were taunting people over?
62% completion percentage. Mm. I know, and I taunted everybody.
So proud of your quarterback.
It doesn't seem like he's thrown for 3,600 either, but he has. All right. All right. Shred him, Stroud.
No, no, you don't get the – those stats say no, you don't get to play that.
Oh, he did that one game.
Against Jacksonville, yeah.
Shred him, Stroud!
Time to talk about Billy Brown. When people are shredding your toilet, okay, you need Billy Brown.
Wow.
Okay, all right.
Good Lord.
That's what you need. Yeah, well, it happens. Okay?
Shred him, Kevin.
Yeah, how many times do your kids clog up the toilet?
Shred him, Jeff.
Okay. How many times do your kids clog up the toilet with something like they use the whole roll of toilet paper? They're terrible people. Children are terrible people. And so here's the deal. If you've got terrible people in your home ruining your pipes, ruining your toilet, ruining – okay. A buddy of mine called me yesterday. He said, I got hot water in the sink but not the shower. Well, call Billy. That's all there is to it. And Billy will get there and he'll fix that problem for you. I don't know how that happens, but you did it. Here's the deal. If you've got any problem whatsoever, 281-488-6238, right, Lance?
Yeah, that's all it is. And it's big jobs, small jobs. You know, for those of you who you sit there and you look in your toilet and you think, I feel like that water is lower than it should be. Could be a leak. Could be a leak in your pipes underneath your slab. And I can promise you, I had one, and it does damage. So make sure that you call the experts. They'll come out there, give you a hydrostatic test, and they'll find out right away whether or not you have a leak. So whether it's leaky faucet or leaky pipes underneath your slab, from the big job to the small job, it's always going to be aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance and Dell, along with you at 713-780-3776. We'll take calls. Anybody wants to get in here and talk about anything that we have been talking about or anything else, you are more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776. Hope you all had a great holiday. We're back now, back every day, and we want you to come on in. Hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It looks like Cam Smith is the Astros' number one. He is the Astros' number one prospect this year. He moves right in. He's 73rd overall. Boy, the Astros minor league system, just there is zero respect for the Astros minor league system. Mm-hmm. Of course, they're always bringing guys up and using them at the big league level, and they're performing, but it just seems like...
Not at the star level, though. Although Yiner is going to be an all-star.
Yiner's going to be...
Yiner will be an all-star. And what's interesting is he wasn't the star. It was going to be Corey Lee.
Right.
Corey Lee was supposed to be the star, and Yiner comes up, and Yiner's the better player. Corey Lee's gone, and Yiner's got all-star potential. But I like the fact that you made a trade, and you immediately get your number one prospect in your system. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. If you're going to move Kyle Tucker, you don't get some good talents. You got to get a guy who's number one in your system. That's why you move Kyle Tucker, to replenish your system in part. And if this guy's number one, I don't care that he's 79. Let's just see how he plays. I mean, you know, with Bryce and Cam – I like that we have a couple of guys in the system that appear to have some potential to be core players.
Yep. I wouldn't mind. I'm just Michael Schwab just put out one, Anthony Santander versus Jurickson Profar. I wouldn't mind Jurickson Profar at all. That would be nice. They got to do something in the outfield. But this, you guys, this is something that's pretty encouraging. Pete Caldera of NorthJersey.com had this to say, and I quote, before a March 1st exhibition game against Houston at Steinbrenner Field, word circulates that third baseman Alex Bregman has re-signed with the Astros on a $175 million deal. Pete Caldera of NorthJersey.com, thank you.
What?
He says he's predicting that Alex Bregman is going to be re-signed by the Astros. Okay?
Where's he going to play?
And he actually picked the time and place.
Okay. Well, so the topic has come up. We didn't broach it yesterday, but is he getting Borst?
He is getting Borst.
I mean, it feels like – who was it that got rid of Borst? Was it Scott?
Borst, yeah.
Who was it that got rid of Boris because he screwed him? Was it
It was a backup. It was the Astros backup. It was they got from the Red Sox, the backup catcher.
Oh, that's right. Redhead Kingpin.
And he went to Kansas. Or
Vasquez,
Kansas City.
Vasquez.
Vasquez had like a
did Blake Snell also or no?
Was Blake
Remember
Snell?
When Blake know. Snell, the year before he got his deal, before he got his big deal, that he was like sitting out there and like right when the season was starting, he didn't have a deal. Was that Scott Boris? I'm looking right now.
I'm looking, not Randy Scott. Okay. I'm trying to find, I think it was Vasquez. I know it was a former Astros backup catcher that had a deal with Kansas City, and he refused it. Christian Vasquez, I think he had a deal with Kansas City for like $15 million. He refused it and ended up signing for two.
Yeah. It was Vasquez, wasn't it? I just Googled fired Scott Boris.
And Vasquez came out?
Jordan Montgomery fired Scott Boris. Ex-Yankee players, the latest. Nick Castellanos fired Scott Boris. I'll have to see who else. But I think you're right. I'm pretty sure it was Vasquez because he just got completely screwed on a deal.
Maybe it wasn't Vasquez.
Or was it? No, you know who it was? I think it was Machete before he came back.
Oh, was it Machete?
Because remember, he thought he was going to get something sweet, and he didn't?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Christian Vasquez. Yeah. Did he fire Boris? Deserve more.
Anyway, it looks like Alex Bregman is caught. Now, here's the deal. Scott Boris walks into a meeting with teams that are looking to sign, and he's got, like, an encyclopedia. He's got, like, one of those gigantic books that have all the stats from every major league player, one of those books. And he's got everything you could possibly want to know about this player and compares them to historically to every player.
By the way, it was Martin Maldonado, 19, fired Scott Boris after he botched free agency.
Ah, how about that? It was Maldonado. Wow. So wasn't it Kansas City that offered him the deal?
Yeah, I think so. Well, yeah. And he got screwed. Now you know, the problem is the timing of free agency has become very – we've seen this over the last 3 years. It's become very critical that you understand when to strike. Typically, early money is what you want. And now Bregman doesn't have the early money. Now, for him, it may not matter as much, but it's starting to look less and less like – well, I shouldn't say that. Boris is always pretty good at the end of the day. Do you think – I still think there's a pretty good chance Bregman gets $200 million just because all Boris needs to do is create enough drama for the Red Sox to believe that another team can get involved. And
well,
I think
here's the deal, though. What if it's right around 160 and Alex Bregman left instead of coming back here?
I mean, unless he just wanted to see what it was like somewhere else, wanted to live somewhere.
He didn't, though. He wanted to come back here.
Well, then he could have.
No. No, because he thought he was going to get 200. Because Boris told him he was getting 200. Yeah, he wanted to come back, but not for 156.
You know what? If you really
wanted
to.
If he signed somewhere at the end of the day for 160 or 165, wow. What a huge.
Well, I would argue, even if it's 185, then you really didn't want to be in Houston because you, like, honestly, if you really wanted to stay in Houston, you probably could have just said, look, let's make it a. You could have just said, ultimately, the money is all that I'll ever be able to spend. It's all my children will ever need. I really want to be here. I know that's I know that's actually kind of Pollyanna. Players don't typically do that ever in any sport. But a lot of them are also not happy. A lot of players have been unhappy when they leave a good situation. Why do you think for sure that Alex Bregman, because the Astros, as he knows it, are changing year after year. Like, it's not the same Astros team that it was when it was Altuve and Springer and Correa and Bregman. They were all giving each other hugs at press conferences and hanging on each other like a boy band. It doesn't look the same anymore. Matter of fact, Altuve's the only one left. Why do you think Bregman, why do you think the Astros all want to be, the guys who are core players, want to be here for the transition?
Why do I think they...
Yeah, why do you think that they're locked into, like, I don't want to leave here? I mean, it is, you're on your, you know, you're on your third manager. There is a transition going on. You're on your third general manager.
Although that manager has been here for a while. It's not like you just brought in somebody from outside. You know, he had been here. One thing is wives. You know what? They're raising the kids here.
Yeah, but Carlos didn't want to leave, and he left.
Well, the Astros didn't, you know, didn't make
him. You want to say that out loud again, or do you feel like getting a phone call?
The Astros didn't. Well, I know this for a fact.
You say it if you want.
Well, they offered him something he didn't want, and it's almost identical to Bregman.
Then did they take his call later on?
No.
Well, that's not what I heard from the Astros. I don't think it's crazy to say, and I don't need to be. I know that I may get a lecture on how Jim Crane spends more money than anyone on earth, but the fact is, bringing in maintaining by bringing in 2-year deals on pitchers or trading for a pitcher is one thing. Spending to keep a core in place, Alex Bregman knows that's not happening. You know that's not going to happen. There's a good chance, you know, that Yordan won't end his career as an Astro unless he takes less money.
Well, Bregman, Altuve.
I mean, does Bregman really want to do that?
And then they signed again. Here's the deal is by the time his contract comes up, he'll be 7 years in. You give him another 5-year deal, that's a 12-year major league career.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and they're going to give him big money. Yordan's going to be here. Yordan, I think, is going to be kind of.
Why do you think Yordan's going to be? Yordan will only be here. Then you're banking on him getting early deals done for less than market value for him.
They already did that.
I know. You think he's going to do it twice?
Yeah, Altuve did it too.
Who's his agent? Altuve is an outlier. Altuve never wants to go. He's 5'3". Yordan is a bombing, strapping power hitter. And you better pray he doesn't get Scott Boras as an agent.
Yeah, I don't know who his agent is.
Because Scott Boras will take his ass right up out of here.
Well, we don't have to use ugly language, okay? We could have just said it regular. And all I know is Alex Bregman maybe isn't – the market ain't there.
Yeah, I guess I don't feel bad for Alex Bregman. I don't actually care. But I guess, like, for radio's sake, I'll say I feel bad for Alex Bregman. I don't feel bad for people who have millions and millions of dollars. So I'll just go ahead and let me just state that first. But now, for radio's sake, I feel bad for Alex Bregman because, he may end up not getting what he was hoping to get.
He may only end up getting 170 or 80 million.
Well, he may not get what he wanted in terms of where to play, situation, financial package because of an agent who, frankly, is very good at his job, but he also is a Ronin who doesn't. I don't know that he necessarily looks at what's best for you for players.
All right. I know what's best for you, Taquerias Arandas.
Oh, it's great for me, and I wish yesterday I had one of the tamales for lunch. I had just one. I had some from Christmas Day that I had been hanging on to, and had frozen and. The Arandas Bakery makes their tamales are so. I wasn't typically a tamale guy until I had Taquerias Arandas, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is the way it's done. Perfect blend of masa and meat. Chicken tamales are way better than I ever anticipated. I'm usually pork tamale guy, beef tamale. You can go to Arandas Bakery and you can get your tamales. You can get your conchas. You can get your pan dulce, your sweetbreads that they have. They have some excellent desserts over there. But there's so much to choose from over at Arandas Bakery. And usually you're going to find those relatively close to Taquerias Arandas. And what are you doing at Taquerias Arandas? Well, you're stopping in and getting yourself a hearty breakfast this morning. It could be breakfast tacos. You can get them and take them on the road, wrap them up in the foil, take them to the office, get a packet of them for the office, and you're going to be the popular guy. But if you want to sit down and have a hearty breakfast, I highly recommend Taquerias Arandas. Whether it's weekday or weekend, you're going to have a wide selection, and it is going to get your day started just right. You have authentic Mexican food available for you at any time of the day on their menus. And it's just a great place to go and enjoy yourself. The food, the fun, bring your friends along and enjoy. But start your day with a good breakfast from Taquerias Arandas. And when you're ready for your sweets and your tamales, Arandas Bakery. It's Taquerias Arandas. Locations all over Houston, Taquerias Arandas.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. If we get any calls, Dell, let me know. We'll go to the calls. Notre Dame wins yesterday, and they will be taking on Penn State. And it's Texas and Ohio State in the other game. And I don't know that anybody's given the Horns much of a chance in this one, which is a little bit crazy.
Line opened 4.5, went to 6.5.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it just shot right up.
My son Alec and I were talking about this. He goes, Texas is going to be right there. He goes, that's all they do is play close games. And he was making the point, and I thought, you know, he's actually got a point. They do, I mean, they've got a good defense. They've got a good defensive line. Ohio State's beat up on the offensive line. Can Ohio State run the ball against Texas? We'll find out. I mean, they're going to be spread. When Ohio State, and remember, Michigan beat up Ohio State. Like, I can't get away from that game. I know how good they looked against Tennessee. I know how good they looked against Oregon. But, man, that Michigan game is like, I can't get away from the fact that Michigan just beat them up. And Michigan is a team that Texas handled easily. And the argument that is made by football people is when Ohio State tries to prove their toughness, they ain't tough. They're still finesse. And so they got to play finesse football. So I think that the Texas, like, can Texas, you know, I that's why the offensive line to me, if you have Wisner and Blue running the ball effectively and creating yards after contact, and I just think Sark has got to do a way better job of calling plays. I watched Isaiah Bond for my draft write-up, and I came away like, oh, my God, Texas is absolutely – there should be an arrest made for what they're doing with Isaiah Bond. This dude should have a minimum of 4 touches a game, a minimum. And I don't care if it's a quick hitch throw. He's I don't care if it's a reverse. I know he had, but not the whole year.
No.
Not the whole year. I watched the whole year. And I'm like, how is this guy not getting more catches? He's used as a decoy so much, and Quinn doesn't target him down the field. That is a massive playmaking potential. He's a 4.3 40 guy with tremendous speed and ability.
How's his Jaylen, route running? Is he getting
it's
open?
It's good. Yes, he's getting wide open. He's used as a – that's what I'm shocked about. He's used as a decoy, and he was at Alabama some too. But, you know, Alabama, he had Jalen Milroe, who can't hit the broadside of a barn. And then you have Quinn, who just is not a good deep ball thrower. And so they ask him to clear defenses out. He does a lot of dirty work stuff because of his speed. He's a good route runner. He's better than anybody else that Texas has. He just does not get the ball. And I'm watching the other day, and I know the argument's, oh, well, but he's been hurt. But he hasn't been hurt all year, and they haven't gotten him the ball all year. He has one game over 50 yards. Game over 50 yards. This is Isaiah Bond was a massive get from, and instead it's been all Matthew Golden and almost no Isaiah Bond. And Isaiah Bond has late first, early second potential as a wide receiver. He'll go early second. He's going to run really fast. He was a sprint champ in high school. And Texas does a piss poor job of getting. Do you know he's got 4 carries, all 4 reverses. 3 of them went for more than 20 yards. And that's all like. And because he's special with the ball in his hands. And they just don't – I don't know what Sark's deal is. I am trying to get him the ball in his hands as much as possible. I just – you know, it got to the point where I was wondering, does Quinn Ewers does not have a good relationship with him? Is there something there? Because I promise you he's looking for Matthew Golden every chance he gets. But I think that they've got a massive weapon, and they better activate him against an explosive – offense like Ohio State, because they have to hit explosive plays if they're not going to be able to bully them on the ground. And we'll see if they can bully them.
King of all twitches,
mm-hmm.
Sark is not that good a head coach. Not sure why he's not taking more ship.
Is he a good big game coach? There's a question.
Well, listen, he's 2 years in a row in the playoffs. I think Texas forgets where they were before Sark. Holy crap, you were irrelevant since mm-hmm. Vince. You were irrelevant, and now you're 2 years in a row in the playoffs.
What? Being in the Final Four 2 years in a row? That coach blows.
He blows.
Well, he lost both games to Georgia.
And Quinn Ewers, you
Final
suck.
Four.
Lost both games to Georgia.
Quinn Ewers, you suck.
No, I mean, do you think that they have played well, Texas, this year? Tell me their best game. Hold on, Dale. Tell me their best game, John.
Florida, Michigan.
Florida against the backup.
And Michigan.
Florida and Michigan. Michigan was
Michigan turned out to be a pretty
Michigan
good
was
team.
Their Michigan
Ask
was their
Alabama
best.
Alabama how good
not
Michigan
then,
is.
Not then they weren't.
Well.
Not then they weren't. They were not a good team early in the year. They took a lot of losses. They weren't very good. But they became a lot better. But, yeah, that was their most impressive win was the second week of the season.
No offense to Texas.
And Florida was a really –
or
Florida,
the argument
Florida,
you're,
they rolled Florida.
You're posing. Texas cannot evaluate and suggest process means more than results. As John said, where have they been? Stop talking about how you got there.
Yeah, no, no,
you're
no.
Not you specifically.
You're right.
But as far as anyone is talking, oh, who have they beaten? Texas ain't got no leg to stand on about how it looked getting there. You got to the semifinal twice. You're in the Final Four twice in 2 years. You cannot criticize Sark, and I made fun of Sark because he was 8-4. Sark never spent a year losing less than four games until last year. What are we talking about? Texas ain't a team that can talk about, well, we beat teams by 35 points, and that's what it looks like for us. You got to the semifinal twice.
But what's your spread record?
That's for gambling purposes. But for this gentleman, whoever you're talking about, what are we talking about here?
Listen, it's not, okay, I'm wrong, you're right, he makes great offensive adjustments. All I know is he, in overtime, they threw and won the ball game. Holy crap, what do you want, 4th and 13? They converted it to a touchdown, and then they went, the next play, touchdown to Helm. I mean, what adjustments didn't he make? Now, listen, they didn't play great.
No, he didn't make any, what do you mean?
All I'm saying is this. Longhorn fan, I don't know where you think you should be, but I know where you were since 2009. I know where you were. You were mid-level Big 12.
No one's asking to fire him, John. They want him to be better in big games.
Well, he just won a big game. We got
they won a big game where they were 2 point. They lost a 16-point lead
won.
In large part because he got tight.
What are we talking about?
I understand. These are two different things. One is results. One is process.
He had Carrot Top missing two easy field
That's
goals.
That's very true. We got the preeminent Longhorn fan, Longhorn Scott, calls in.
What up, Longhorn Scott?
Hey guys. Yeah, this is a no silliness call. Like this is straight up. So look, my humble opinion as a guy. You know, I was a freshman there in 91, and since that season, I've missed 12 games in Austin only, and five of those were when I lived in California for a year in 98. So, look, I've sat through, and I'm talking from the eyes of Texas to the eyes of Texas. When you sit through all of that, you get perspective, and there's a lot of people who clearly don't have it. You know, are there opportunities for Sark? That's what's exciting for me is I'm thrilled with where we're at. When we're at a point where we're upset about ugly wins in the second round of the playoffs, like we've got opportunity. Have they played 100% clean all year? I mean, maybe once or twice. At the end of the day, the goal is to win, and win whether it's ugly or not. I mean, I can think back to some teams here recently that won. Like, I feel like Ohio State had a team. I mean, hell, Georgia won it all because of a missed field goal by Ohio State. Like, just win, you know? And so I, for one, am thrilled with where we're at. Bond has been hurt, by the way. So, like, there's been a lot of injuries, so I think some of those guys are getting healthy. I think Bond is finally healthy again, and so, by the way, I'll just say this too. The people that are making these really outlandish, ridiculous comments, like you just read some, whoever it was, saying something about he's a terrible coach, he's not catching enough heat. I mean, those are either non-Texas fans or they're outliers. The average fan is like, hey, life's pretty freaking good right now. And, by the way, Sooner fans, suck it. Aggies, suck it. Arkansas, I just took an Arkansas this morning. You know, your season was in Arkansas. Like, there's plenty to be pretty excited about. You told me in a season we beat Michigan, Arkansas, OU, A&M.
Florida.
And we're sitting here fiddling over, you know, not being, like, beating people by 20. I think we got a great chance this week, this next game. We'll see. I don't know, man.
For the call. Can they win a national championship? Is Sark good enough to win a national championship?
We'll see.
I'm not talking about beating Vanderbilt on the road by three. I'm not talking about getting by against Arizona State. I'm talking about beating the Georgias in Georgia game. Everyone else can beat Georgia this year.
Tom Osborne took
And then he got
years.
Stone Cold criminals on his team who literally did prison time.
Well, then Sark.
It was different.
Tommy Frazier was a Stone Cold criminal.
Now some of those.
No, you want to go now? Do Lawrence Phillips and the Peter brothers?
Yeah. Well that's you got to make. You got to make decisions.
We got a break. 713-780-3776. You got thoughts on this?
I think it's a fair question. When we come back, I want to get in a little bit.
All right. I've got a fair question for you. What kind of beer are you drinking? Because if it's not Coors Light, it ain't as good as it could be. Your life is not as good as it could be. I need you to climb on. I need you to keep Texas chill. I know it's a little chilly there right now, huh? But here's the deal. I don't care where you are, what you're doing. It is time for you to get a climb on board with the cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. I love it. I've always got some in the fridge in case somebody comes over or in case I'm just sitting around watching a game, whatever the case may be. I love me some Coors Light, and you will love you some Coors Light, too. It's a new year. Start something different. Try Coors Light. If you haven't yet, please do. I know if you have that you're drinking it. I love it. You'll love it. Coors Light. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.